Hello, listener, wherever you are. This is a recording of the first annual Triple Trivia Greenfield Fireworks fundraiser. We hope that you enjoy this recording, and please keep in mind that it was a fundraiser for the Greenfield Fireworks. Everyone in the room that you can hear paid $20 to get in. So you at home are free to listen to this recording, and we hope that you will click the link on the webpage, Friends of Greenfield Recreation, and throw us $5. You and your family can listen and play along. You can download the PDF and print it out of the game sheet and play along. So without further ado, let's return to Thursday, June 26th, 2025, and play some Triple Trivia.
Okay. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Triple Trivia. Come on. It's the first annual. We're hoping to do this every year. Thank you very much for showing up. Let me put my glasses on. There we go. My name is Mick Muller. Some of you may know me from Montague Webworks or the Greenfield Business Association. Today, I am representing and with the Friends of Greenfield Recreation, and this is the organization. All right, we'll take it. The Friends, Greenfield Recreation. We exist only to raise funds for the recreation department. So before we get started with anything, I'd like to give us another rousing, loud applause of appreciation for the people who do such an incredible job for our fair city. Christy Moore, Kelly Jenkins, and Shayla Demers. Over there in the corner, give it up. They're high-fiving each other, right. And you can really support them by buying T-shirts or a 50-50 raffle. We'll be coming around with the raffle tickets, but we are doing that. So as you may know, the Greenfield Recreation Department hosts the annual 4th of July fireworks. And this event is funded by donations and fundraising, not by the city budget. Each year costs $18,000. Our fundraising events this year have included indoor mini golf in April, cornhole tournament in May, and this now here in June. We're grateful for the generous sponsorship from local businesses and participation in the community. So, some quick announcements before we kick off. Please silence and put away all phones and electronic devices. No Googling. I know. That's cheating. All right. A couple of other things. If you're hungry, you can go over there. If you're thirsty, you can go over there. If you have to go to the bathroom or pee, there's a bathroom there, there's a bathroom there, and there's another bathroom there. If there's a fire or something, the exits are over there, and there's another one over there. And that's all I have to say about that. So now let's review the rules. You have sheets in front of you, and I don't have one, so I'm going to look at my daughters here. This is triple trivia. So you've played trivia before, but you haven't played triple trivia. Each question is going to be based on a category in a particular decade. So you can look at your sheets and check that out. So for instance, music, I'm going to give you a sample question now. Music in the 1960s. Music in the 1960s. Name the title song from the Beatles' groundbreaking concept album that references a fictional quartet. You can just shout it out if you know it. Sergeant Pepper's. So that's 1 point. And you'll notice on your score sheet there are three answers in each box. The second question is, which band member wrote and sang lead on that song? Paul McCartney sang and wrote that song, so that would be another point. And then the third question is the when. What year did it come out, that album? Right, because it's written down on a piece of paper in front of you. That's cheating. Anyway, so that's how it works. Each question is going to have three answers, the what, the who, and the when. And you got to be paying attention here. Teams get 1 point for each correct answer, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the last question, all teams will swap sheets, and then I'll go through the answers, and you will score your neighboring team's sheet. The winning team will win $100 cash prize. Second and third place will get gift cards. All right. Are we ready for this? All right. That sounds like a yes. All right. Listen up. Here's the first question. In the top left box, music in the 2010s. This is in the decade of 2010 to 2019. Name a popular song from the 2010s. Shut up, kid. About a girl meeting a boy at a wishing well where she noncommittally gives him her phone number. Name a popular song from the 2010s about a girl meeting a boy at a wishing well where she noncommittally gives him her phone number. This is a monster hit that I've never even heard of, frankly. But I'm told that it was a monster hit. Do you have like a 12-year-old at your table? They would probably know. All right, the second question is, who is the singer of this song? And then what year was the song released? So you got 2 minutes. Again, name a popular song from this decade about a girl meeting a boy at a wishing well where she noncommittally gives him her phone number. Who was that singer and what year was the song released? That's the 1 minute warning. To the second question now. Music in the 2000s. That's the year of 2000 to 2009. Name a popular song from this decade, from the 2000s, that's been described as, quote, the ultimate kiss-off breakup song. And it was noted for having the longest single-word title for a pop song. I'll say that again. Name a popular song from this from the 2000s that's been described as the ultimate kiss-off breakup song and was noted for having the longest single-word title for a pop song. Who is the singer and what year was it released?
Triple Trivia!
I see a lot of gray hairs here. We'll get to your decade soon. One more time, name a popular song from this decade that's been described as the ultimate kiss-off song and was noted for having the longest single-word title for a pop song. Who was the singer and what year was that song released?
One minute.
Just as a reminder, the song title is just one word. It's a one-word song title, and it was noted for being the longest single-word title for a pop song.
Pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga Juju?
So I guess if you don't know it, you could just come up with the longest word you know. That could be the title of a song. You don't know that one either.
No. Pennsylvania Station, about a 4:40. Read a magazine, and you ran Baltimore.
You earned that honor, now nothing could be finer
than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing 8 to the bar, then you know that
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. Now we're on the third question. That's the third box in the music column. Name an influential Seattle grunge band started in this decade, the 1990s, that was named after the lead singer's grandmother who had a recipe for peyote-laced jelly. Name an influential Seattle grunge band started in the 90s that was named after the lead singer's grandmother who had a special recipe for peyote-laced jelly. Who is the lead singer and what year was their breakout first album released?
Triple Trivia!
Well, you gotta be.
I try so hard, my dear, to show.
I'll say it again.
That you were my every dream.
It's the what, the who, and then the when. So the what is of that decade. Right. In the 1990s, name the influential Seattle grunge band that was started in the 90s that was named after the lead singer's grandmother who had a special recipe for peyote-laced jelly. In the 1990s is when they were started, a Seattle grunge band. Yeah, it's the Who. Yeah, I thought you meant the band, the Who. That's the Who. No, that's the what. The who is the lead singer. Right. And then what year did that album come out, their breakout album? Sorry. Yeah, the what is the band? The who is the lead singer? And then the when did their first breakout album come out? So name that influential Seattle grunge band. That's the what. Who is the lead singer of that band? And when was their breakout album first released?
30 seconds!
Seattle-based grunge band in the 1990s.
Yet you're afraid to try.
A lot of vacant stares. And a lot of grimaces. Yes, sir.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, so now we're on to music in the 1970s, my favorite era. What's that? Oh, we're on the 80s, sorry. We're in the 80s, not my favorite decade. But anyway, name in the 1980s, name a smash hit song from this decade that also asks a big question about personal relationships, which wound up being this female singer's most successful career song. Name a smash hit song from the 1980s that asks a big question about personal relationships, which wound up being this female singer's most successful career song in the 1980s. Who is the singer and what year was that song released?
Triple Trivia!
Thank you. I'll give you an extra little tip. This Smash Hit song was a bit of a comeback for this female singer. It's a bit of a comeback for this female singer in the 80s. Smash hit, monster hit in the 1980s. Big question. It's a question. What is that song title? So glad I had that recorded. All right, now we're on to the 70s, my favorite era of music. Name a popular song from this decade describing a tragic fire that happened at a Frank Zappa rock concert near a big lake in Switzerland. Don't sing it out loud. Name a popular song from the 1970s describing a tragic fire that happened at a Frank Zappa concert near a lake in Switzerland. Who was the band that made that song, and what year was that song released? Hit the button.
Triple Trivia!
Popular song from the 1970s describing a tragic fire that happened at a concert near a big lake in Switzerland. Who was that band, and what year was that song released? I remember dancing to that at the teen dances. Stomping on dirty floors. To the 1960s. Someone was happy about that. All right. Name the biggest hit song of this decade that was also the name of a popular, mostly stationary, rotating dance. Name the biggest hit song of this decade that was also the name of a popular, mostly stationary, rotating dance. Who was the singer? And what year was that song released?
Triple Trivia!
I was thinking
Did he die? I was thinking and not about him. Did he die? Just a country boy.
Biggest hit song of the decade. Popular, mostly stationary dance.
It should be like a Harlem Queen.
1 minute.
It should be like a midnight rambling baby, like he never seen, like never seen, never seen.
Saturday morning.
I was thinking that night about him. Did he die? Yeah. I was thinking the night about it.
30 seconds!
And it took it all. At black and white. Everyone in the other hand in a hill on time. And he shook it.
Five, four, three, two, one.
All right. Now we're in music in the 1950s. Name one of the biggest summer hits of this decade that laments the ghosted relationship of a heart that's true. I think that's even a line from the song. Name one of the biggest summer hits of this decade that laments the ghosted relationship of a heart that's true. Who is this, quote, royally popular singer, and what year was that song released?
Triple Trivia!
One of the biggest summer hits of the 1950s that laments the ghosted relationship of a heart that's true. Who is this royally popular singer? And what year was that song released? The heart that's true. Name one of the biggest summer hits of the 1950s that laments the ghosted relationship of a heart that's true. Who is this royally popular singer, and what year was that song released? We are now, and this is one of my favorite words, at the penultimate question of this category. Music in the 1940s. Name this popular instrumental jazz standard about an uptown New York City subway line. Oh, too easy, they say. Name this popular instrumental jazz standard about an uptown New York City subway line. Who made it famous, and what year did it come out?
Triple Trivia!
was about cooking something up with me. Hey, sweet baby, don't you think maybe we could find us a brand new recipe? I got a hot rod Ford and a $2 bill, and I know a spot right over the hill. There's soda pop and the dancing's free. So if you wanna have fun, come along with me. Say, hey, good looking, what you got cooking?
Name this popular.
One minute.
Name this popular instrumental jazz standard from the 1940s about an uptown New York City subway line. Who made it famous and what year did it come out? Instrumental jazz standard. Okay, and now the last question in the music category. Music in the 1930s. Name this wishful, colorful hit song from a big production movie released late in the 1930s. This wishful, colorful hit song from a big production movie released late in the 1930s. Who sang that song? And what year did it come out?
Triple Trivia!
Name this wishful, colorful hit song from a big production movie released late in this decade. Who sang that song and what year? Our handy helpers will be bringing cake. When you hear the buzzer, when you hear the she'll be coming around, they'll be coming around with cake. And then, yes, you can eat cake. Let them eat cake.
30 seconds.
I'm going to let you all eat cake. All right, we're going to take a 5-minute bio break. You can run and get liquids, or you can...
As a reminder, during this brief break in the action, if you are indeed playing and have gotten this far, I hope you're enjoying the game. If you have not yet donated, as a thank you for being able to play this game at home, pick up your phone and go to the webpage for Friends of Greenfield Recreation and click the donate button at the top and throw us $5 or something. It's a fundraiser for Greenfield's annual fireworks. thanks and enjoy, and let's get back to the action.
Okay, folks, we've got cake over here. If you want cake, look over at Donna, who's standing there and waving at you. Everybody wave at Donna. You can help yourself to a slice of cake. And Will is coming around and selling 50-50 raffle tickets. The cake is free. The cake is free. Yes, the cake is free. By the way, folks, the kitchen is closed. No more ordering food. We're sold out of most things. Thank you very much. No rest for the weary. On now to movies. We're moving into movies. So, first question at the top of movies. Movies in the 2010s. Let me get my glasses on again, sorry. All right. Name this prehistoric creature-based sci-fi movie set on a jungle island. Movies in the 2010s. Name this prehistoric creature-based sci-fi movie set on a jungle island. Who was the lead actor, and what year was it released? Yet.
Triple trivia!
Who was the lead actor, and what year was the movie released? Movie from the 2010s. Name this prehistoric creature-based sci-fi movie set on a jungle island. That's the what. What movie is that? Who was the lead actor? When was that movie released? Movies in the 2010s.
One minute.
Thirty seconds. Tick tock, tick tock. Prehistoric creature based sci-fi movie from the 2010s. Movies in the 2000s. Second box in the movie column. Name this animated fishtail of a father searching for his son. Don't say it out loud. Name this animated fishtail of a father searching for his son. Movies in the 2000s. Who was the voice actor who played the dad? Who's the voice actor that played the dad? And then what year was that movie released?
Triple trivia!
Come on. Yeah. Except for the who. I could have said the second actor and people would have, but the first. I know who he is, so I can't remember.
Shake, Sinora, shake it all the time. Work, 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 Sinora, work your body line. Work, 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 Sinora, work it all the time. My girl's name is Sinora.
Keep hearing my name, sir.
When she dances, oh brother.
Or Mick. Animated fishtail. Movie in the 2000s.
guys knocked that one out of the park. Where you guys left your 50-50 right now? Is it a $5? Is it a $5?
You can pause the clock.
So,
continue. No, it's not hot. It's just not.
It might just be so low. What if you, sorry.
You have to hit try to figure out.
I'm just going to call one refresh page. Refresh the whole page. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the music player stopped working, so we're refreshing that page. And while she does that, my lovely music assistant, Miette, my daughter. All right. Oh, thank you. Music in the 1990s. Movies in the 1990s. Name this movie about an ill-fated cross-Atlantic ship voyage. Oh, come on. Name this movie from the 90s about an ill-fated cross-Atlantic ship voyage. Who was the female lead in that movie? And what year did that movie come out?
Triple Trivia!
Movies in the 1990s. Name this movie about an ill-fated cross-Atlantic ship voyage. Who was the female lead? And what year was that movie released? That's all we can ask for is your best shot. If I haven't said it already, I'd like to thank very much the Greenfield Elks for letting us use their lodge today. Normally there's a fee, but they waived it because they support the Greenfield Fireworks, just like all of you. So thank you.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. Movies in the 1980s. Name this hit comedy movie of this decade, of the 1980s. About a Detroit police officer who goes west in search for his friend's killer. In the 1980s, name this hit comedy movie about a Detroit police officer who goes west in search for his friend's killer. Who was the star of that movie and what year was it released?
Triple Trivia! I'm
just mad. I know, it's so hokey, but I love it.
Saffron's mad about me. Mama just mad about Saffron. She's just mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite rightly. They call me Mellow Yellow.
Minute.
They call me Mellow Yellow, quite frankly.
Movies from the 1980s, hit comedy movie. Oh, yeah. Man,
Five, four, three, two, one.
That song ended too quick for me. All right. Movies in the 1970s. Movies in the 1970s. Name this cult classic musical from this decade that had both a Frankenfurter and meatloaf. We almost served that tonight. Cult classic musical from the 1970s that had both Frankenfurter and meatloaf in the movie. Who was the main lead actor of the movie, and what year was that movie released?
Triple Trivia!
So one more time. Cult classic musical from the 1970s that had both a Frankenfurter and meatloaf in the movie. Cult classic from the 70s. Who was the lead actor, and what year was that movie released? To the 60s, folks. Movies in the 1960s. Name this groundbreaking experimental sci-fi movie from this decade about an ill-fated manned mission to Jupiter after a discovery on the moon. Name the groundbreaking experimental sci-fi movie from the 60s about an ill-fated manned mission to Jupiter after we discovered something on the moon. Who directed that movie, and what year was it released?
Triple Trivia!
Anybody else need me to read it again? Guess not. Groundbreaking experimental sci-fi movie from the late 60s. There's two ill-fated journeys in this trivia. Name the groundbreaking experimental sci-fi movie from the 1960s about an ill-fated manned mission to Jupiter after a discovery on the moon.
1 minute!
Oh, who directed it? And then what year was the movie released? Okay, I'm trying to do that. I am told I need to speak up. I am told I need to speak up. The trick is to point it at your mouth. How you guys doing over here? Yeah, I do. It's good to come with a pencil to these things.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, now we're down to movies in the 1950s. Movies in the 1950s. Name the movie from the 1950s about a frustrated jury in a New York City murder trial who ultimately changes their original verdict. Name the movie from the 1950s about a frustrated jury in a New York City murder trial who ultimately changes their original verdict. Who was the lead star, and what year did that movie come out?
Triple Trivia!
I love this song.
The piano has been drinking. My necktie.
I went to the Phoenix class, which
the combo went back.
A movie from the 1950s about a frustrated jury in a New York City murder trial who ultimately changes their original verdict. Who was the lead actor in that movie? And what year did it come out? How are you guys doing over here? What's the name of your team?
And the menus are all freezing. And the right man's blind and wide.
Greenfield Fire, local 2548 playing over here. All right. All right. That's a mouthful.
30 seconds.
I'm being told to shut up and stop distracting you. Just trying to be friendly.
The bouncer is a sumo wrestler. Great Buff Gasper Milk Toast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And now we're at the penultimate question of movies in the 1940s. Name the movie from the 1940s that many consider to be a masterpiece about a fictional publishing tycoon who dies at the end of the movie. Name this movie from the 1940s that many consider to be a masterpiece about a fictional publishing tycoon who dies at the end of the movie. Who starred in the movie, and what year was it released?
Triple Trivia!
Tell you, I can't get sick of it.
I can settle down and be doing
just... Here's a hint about the movie. The person who starred in it was also the director. Movie from this decade that many consider to be a masterpiece about a fictional publishing tycoon who dies at the end of the movie. Who starred and directed it? And what year was that movie released?
I love you, baby, but you gotta understand when the Lord made me.
1 minute!
Some folks might say that I'm no good, that I wouldn't settle down if
I could.
But when that open road
30 seconds
calling me, there's something old that I got. Sometimes it's hard, but you gotta understand when the Lord made me.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. The bottom of the middle column, movies in the 1930s. Name this Oscar-winning movie about life in the South during the war in the 1800s. Name this Oscar-winning movie, made it in the 1930s, about life in the South during the war in the 1800s. Name the female lead actress in that movie, and the year the movie was released.
Triple Trivia!
Oscar-winning movie, 1930s, life in the South during a war. Who was the female lead actress? What year did that movie come out? So that's the bottom of movies. I think we're just going to roll right into the next category. All right. So the next one is motoring. And apparently people don't know what motoring is. Motoring is anything with a car or a truck or a motorcycle or anything with a motor. Let's go motoring. All right. You ready for this? Top of the column. Motoring in the 2010s, which automobile manufacturer sold the most popular pickup truck in this decade, selling over 41 million of them? Which automobile manufacturer sold the most popular pickup truck in the 2010s, selling over 41 million of them. I know this sounds bizarre, but I'm sure there's three of them in the parking lot. What is the model number of that most popular pickup truck of this decade? And what was the peak year of sales in this decade? Because the year matters.
Triple trivia!
Which automobile manufacturer sold the most popular pickup truck of the 2010s, selling over 41 million of them? By gosh, jeepers, that's a lot of pickup trucks. What was the model number of that pickup truck? And what was the peak year of sales in that decade? People sing along with a countdown. All right, now we're in motoring in the 2000s. You ready for this one? All right, here's a mouthful. The model NHW2, the model NHW2, also referred to as Generation 2, was the second mass-produced hybrid car sold in America. Who was the manufacturer of that car? The model NHW2, also referred to as Generation 2, was the second mass-produced hybrid car sold in America. What is the manufacturer of that car? Who is the manufacturer of that car? What was the model name, and what year did sales start in America?
Triple trivia!
And I'll tell you that you can't come to a stoplight in Western Mass and not see like three of them around you. They're like, it's one of the most popular. It used to be Subaru, but now it's this. The model NHW2, also referred to as the Generation 2, was the second mass-produced hybrid car sold in America. Who was the manufacturer of that car? What was the model name? What year did sales start in America? This song, by the way, was in the soundtrack to a movie. Yeah, the first question is, who is the manufacturer? The second question is, what is the model name?
1 minute!
Who manufactured the model NHW2, also referred to as the Generation 2? The second mass-produced hybrid car sold in America. What was the model name? And what year did sales start?
Seconds!
person move?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, indeed. Yes, and that was the second mass-produced hypercar sold in America. All right. Motoring in the 1990s. Motoring in the 1990s. Motoring. Which car from this decade is widely considered to be the worst car in history? Which car from the 1990s is widely considered to be the worst car in history? So the second question is, and here's a clue to it, in which country was it manufactured? There are two possible answers. And the third is, what year was the plant destroyed during a bombing raid by NATO?
Triple trivia!
So this is a tricky one, but all right, which car is widely considered to be the worst car in history? That was in the 1990s. In which country was it manufactured? I would accept either of two possible answers. That's a clue. And what year was the plant destroyed during a bombing raid by NATO? NATO. What car from the 1990s was widely considered to be the worst car in history? In which country was it? Which country was it manufactured? I would accept one of two answers. That's a clue. And what year was the plant destroyed by a bombing raid by NATO? NATO bombed the manufacturing plant for this company in a country that I will now accept one of two answers. Don't they always blow stuff up to save the world? Yeah, the car was that bad. In the 1980s. Motoring in the 1980s. General Motors founded what subsidiary automobile company to compete with Japanese automakers in the 1980s? General Motors founded what subsidiary automobile company to compete with Japanese automakers? In which state did they set up their manufacturing plant, and what year was this new subsidiary founded?
Triple trivia!
General Motors founded what subsidiary automobile company, which means that it really was a GM, but they created a new brand to compete with Japanese automakers. Which state did they set up the manufacturing plant? And what year was this new subsidiary founded in the 1980s? Motorant. It keeps stopping. I guess you gotta refresh.
Major hearts.
That's too bad.
Let me teardrop star.
I suppose I could sing. Your cold, cold heart.
You'll never know how much.
30 seconds.
You know you need a lot of money. So many. Really
dumb. Why do you run and hide from life? to try it just ain't smart. Walking
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. We are now motoring in the 70s. Motoring in the 70s. In this decade, what Italian automobile manufacturer started producing this splashy, iconic mid-engine sports car? In the 1970s, what Italian automobile manufacturer started producing the splashy, iconic mid-engine sports car? At which 1971 motor show was it first introduced, and what year did the car start full production?
Triple trivia!
The car would typically be shown in red, by the way. In this decade, the 1970s, what Italian automobile manufacturer started producing the splashy, iconic mid-engine sports car, 1970s? Do you know which motor show in 1971 it was first introduced? That's a hard one. What year did the car start full production? Only four more questions, folks.
1 minute.
The second question is, the car, at which 1971 motor show was it first introduced? So that's more like a where. At which 1971 motor show was it first introduced? And remember, this is an Italian automobile manufacturer. In the 1970s, who made a splashy, iconic mid-engine sports car.
30 seconds!
Might even be... Yeah. Car shows in Europe. The car was first introduced in 1971 at a motor show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, we got four questions left, folks. Motoring in the 1960s. In this decade, in the 1960s, Congress passed the National Traffic and Motor Vehicle Act, which required what safety feature in every new car sold? I'll say that again. In the 1960s, Congress passed the National Traffic and Motor Vehicle Act, which required what safety feature in every new car sold? Who authored the book called Unsafe at Any Speed in 1965 that may have raised the issue? And what year was the act actually passed?
Triple trivia!
In the 60s, Congress passed the National Traffic and Motor Vehicle Act, which required what safety feature in every new car sold? A safety feature is what we're looking for. Who authored the book called Unsafe at Any Speed in 1965 that may have raised the issue in the first place? And what year was the act actually passed, which would have been after 1965, because that's when the book was written. Which safety feature did the National Traffic and Motor Vehicle Act require in every new car sold, starting in the 1960s.
One minute.
Who authored the book called Unsafe at Any Speed in 1965 that may have raised the issue? And what year was the act actually passed?
3, 2, 1.
There you go. Sing-along countdowns. Motoring in the 1950s. Here we go. Motoring in the 1950s. Which native motorcycle, and native has air quotes around it, which native motorcycle company was manufacturing their bikes in Massachusetts starting in 1901? Native, quote, native motorcycle company manufacturing their bikes in Massachusetts starting in 1901. In which city did they have their main factory? And what year did production there cease in the 1950s?
Triple trivia!
I'll say that again. A native, quote, native, unquote, motorcycle company manufacturing their bikes in Massachusetts starting in 1901. What is the name of that company? In which city in Massachusetts did they have their main factory? And what year did production there cease in the 1950s?
Sonora, I tell you friends I adore her. And when she dances, oh brother, she's a hurricane in all kinds of weather. Jump in the line, rock your body and dance. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body and dance. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body and dance. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body and
dance. 1 minute.
The second question is, in which city did this company have its main factory in Massachusetts? And what year did production there cease in the 1950s?
Shake it,
all right. The penultimate question. I love that word. It's like peninsula. It means whatever. Motoring in the 1940s. In this decade, the 1940s, which new innovation in automobile accessories was introduced? What new innovation in automobile accessories was introduced in the 1940s? Which car manufacturer first made it available? And in what year?
Triple trivia!
You're going to be hearing that in your sleep tonight. Our player keeps stopping. Would you like me to sing instead? No, you don't want me to. They call me Mellow Yellow. Quite right. In this decade, which new innovation in automobile accessories was introduced? The 1940s. Which car manufacturer first made it available? And in what year? I'm going to give us another 10 seconds because our things stop working.
4, 3.
Read what part again? All right, one last time. In the 1940s, which new innovation in automobile accessories was introduced. It's an accessory which is first introduced in the 40s. Which car manufacturer first made it available, and which year? Okay. Are we good? So this is the last call for 50-50 raffle, if you haven't done it yet. Will come sauntering down, or you can walk over there. He's nodding his head. All right. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and. All right. We're on the last question now. Last question. I'll just let you know that when this question's over and you got your 2 minutes, all the tables are going to pass their sheet around and you will all grade each other's papers while I read you the answers. Okay? And then we'll have runners grab them to make sure the math is right and we'll be able to get out of here. All right. Motoring in the 1930s. This is the final question of Triple Trivia. Woohoo. In the 1930s, which automobile manufacturer had the highest sales in this decade? Think about it. The 1930s. Who was making cars in the 1930s? Which manufacturer had the highest sales in this decade? And approximately, how many did they sell in their peak year in this decade? And I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you multiple choice, all right? Approximately, how many did they sell in their peak year in the 1930s? Was it 500,000? Was it 1,000,000? Or was it 5,000,000? Remember, this is the 1930s. And then the last question is, what was the peak year of sales?
Triple Trivia!
Again, motoring 1930s. Which automobile manufacturer had the highest sales in the 1930s? And approximately how many did they sell in their peak year this decade? Again, the multiple choice is 500,000, 1,000,000, or 5,000,000. I'll accept one of those correct answers. And what was the peak year of sales in the 1930s for this automobile manufacturer who was killing it in the 1930s?
I love you, baby, but you gotta understand when the Lord.
So here's Will, if you want to do any 50-50 raffle stuff. All right, it's closed now, right? Because we're done. Right. Yep. All right, everybody, please make sure that your team name, I was going to say band name, could be your band name, is written at the top of your sheet. It could be the table number. All right. Yeah. Not very clever, though.
30 seconds.
Okay. Again, which automobile manufacturer had the highest sales in the 1930s? How many did they sell in their peak year in this decade? 500,000, 1,000,000, 5,000,000? And what was the peak year of their sales? So, when the countdown is done,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. So you two changed. You two swapped. So how about you two swap? You swap with them, and you guys swap over that way. Let's see how you can do it. Just pass your sheet to another. Pass your sheet to another table, and get ready. So right now, before I read the answers. Before, attention folks, we're doing the 50-50 raffle now. So, Will, okay, what is the prize?
$112.
$112? What? All right, this youth over here is going to stand up, close his eyes, and put his hands into the bucket and pull a number. No, you don't. You don't get to touch it. Close your eyes. And he pulls up number. Get your tickets out. Everyone's got their name on it. All right, pass it over.
Donna C. Donna C.
It's Donna C's day. Woohoo! 112 buckaroos. All right. Are you guys ready now to... All right. This is the day of reckoning. All right. We're going to start with music in the 2010s. Music in the 2010s. Name a popular song from this decade about a girl meeting a boy at a wishing well where she non-committally gives him her phone number. That's Call Me Maybe. Call Me Maybe. Call Me Maybe. Maybe. Here's my number. Yeah, maybe you can call me. The singer was Carly Rae Jepsen. I have to say, never heard of that person. Call Me Maybe is the name of the song. Are you saying that it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's Call Me... Yeah, Call Me would work. That's 1 point. All right. So the answers are Call Me Maybe, Carly J. Repson, and the year was 2012. In the 2010s. All right. Music in the 2000s, a popular song from this decade that's been described as the ultimate kiss-off breakup song, that would be Irreplaceable, which happens to have the longest single-word title for a pop song. Irreplaceable. If you try and spell it, there are two R's in that one. All right. It was sung by Beyoncé. All right, and the year was 2006. I hear a lot of ahs and a lot of uhs. Missed it by that much. Music in the 1990s. Music in the 1990s. An influential Seattle grunge band started this decade who had a grandmother with a special recipe for peyote-laced jelly. That would be Pearl Jam. Pearl is the grandmother's name, and jam is jelly. The lead singer for that, of course, is Eddie Vedder. Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, and the year is 1991. Now, as you're scoring these, you can put a little mark next to each correct one, and when you add them up later, each mark or whatever you do is worth 1 point. Music in the 1980s, a smash hit song from this decade that asks a big question about personal relationships, which wound up being this female singer's most successful career song. It was a, what do you call it? What did I call it? A comeback song. Thank you. So the song is What's Love Got to Do With It? By Tina Turner, of course, and the year was 1984. Here's a little trivia: just from the video that she made, they insured her legs because she walked around in those leather skirts on stage and everything, and she had to insure. Yeah, she was 70. That's a 1984. For that song, 1984. All right, music in the 70s. A popular song from this decade describing a tragic fire that happened at a Frank Zappa and the Mamas. We're at the best place around. That would be Smoke on the Water. Fire in the Sky. The band was Deep Purple. And that was in 1972. I do remember dancing to that song, barefoot, and Jesus, I was 11. All right, music in the 60s. Name the biggest hit song of this decade that was also the name of a popular, mostly stationary, rotating dance. That was The Twist. Who was the singer? That would be Chubby Checker. And the year was a flat 1960. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. All right. Music in the 50s. One of the biggest summer hits of this decade that laments the ghosted relationship of a heart that's true. That would be Don't Be Cruel. Don't Be Cruel. Who is this royally popular singer? Say it with me now. Elvis Presley. The King. That's why he was a royally popular singer. And the song came out in 1956. Oh. They were off by that much. All right. Music in the 1940s. Name this popular instrumental jazz standard about an uptown New York City subway line. You can take the A train.
Yes.
Wow. She had big money on that one. And that, of course, was Duke Ellington, the Duke, another royal musician, so to speak. And that was 1941. There was a wild time. Okie dokie. Bottom of the column for music in 1930s. Name this wishful, colorful hit song from a big production movie, Over the Rainbow. Somewhere. Which, by the way, here's a piece of trivia. They were going to cut it from the movie, and the director said, hell no. Are you kidding me? And they're like, it's too slow. All right, who sang that? Judy Garland. And the year was 1939. Now, this is going to come up against movies in the 1930s because the movie that Over the Rainbow was in was up against the movie from the 1930s. So they were both up for Oscars that year. All right. Movies in the 2010s. I'm going to hear a couple of O's coming now. Ready for this? Movies in the 2010s. A prehistoric creature-based sci-fi movie set on a jungle island. That would be Jurassic World. Not Jurassic Park. We will not accept Jurassic Park. That was... I guess it's more like Jurassic Park 4 at that point. I mean, come on. The lead actor would be Chris Pratt. It was Jurassic World. Not Jurassic Park. Chris Pratt, and the year was 2015. All right. I want to hear more reactions here. Come on. I get no excitement in my life. Movies in the 2000s. The next one. Name this animated fishtail of a father searching for his son, and that would be Finding Nemo. Me and my kids watched that, and I'm not kidding, at least 20 times. At least 20 times. They could recite the whole middle, just keep swimming. The two of them, like 4 minutes of the movie. The father, the voice actor who played the dad was Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks. And the year that that movie came out was 2003. All right. How's everybody doing here? Anybody winning yet? Come on. I try to make these as easy as possible, but we're going back far in time. All right. Movies in the 1990s. Name this movie about an ill-fated cross-Atlantic ship voyage. That, of course, would be... Yeah! The Titanic. It was the 1990s, not the 60s. And it was more than a three-hour tour. The lead female was Kate Winslet. And it came out in 1997. And I did meet a woman who said that she watched it 11 times while it was still in the theaters. I was like, but you knew what happened even before you went into the movie. All right. Movies in the 1980s. Name the hit comedy movie of the 80s about a Detroit police officer. That would be Beverly Hills Cop. He went west in search for his friend's killer, which is how we wound up in Beverly Hills. The star, of course, was Eddie Murphy. Awesome. Very funny. And that was 1984. Oh. Wah, wah, wah. All right. Movies in the 1970s. Here we go. Name the cult classic musical from this decade. It's a musical that had both Frank and Furter and Meatloaf. That would be the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The Peanut Gallery is really excited today. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Damn it, Janet. The lead was Tim Curry, and the year was 1975. Nice. Got some high marks over here. Oh, I'm going to work him into another one. Next year, remember Marty Feldman. Movies in the 1960s. Name the groundbreaking experimental sci-fi movie. That would be 2001 Space Odyssey. We will accept just 2001 because the box is kind of small. Who directed it? It was Stanley Kubrick. And the year was 1968, not 1969. A lot of things happened in 69, but not that movie. I thought that movie was amazing. I know some people that fell asleep during it. So it's not for everybody, I guess. All right. This one's a little tough. The movie from the 1950s about a frustrated jury in a New York City murder trial where they changed their original verdict. That would be 12 Angry Men. All right. Here, some people got it right. Wow. Who was the lead star? That would be Henry Fonda. Wow. The other, not the other guy. So many stars. Well, he was the lead. I mean, come on. Harvey Korman. He wasn't alive then, I don't think. And the movie was 1957. Yeah, that last one's a bit of a crapshoot, right? Just put any number down. All right. 1940 movie. Name the movie from this decade that many consider to be a masterpiece about a fictional publishing tycoon. That would be Citizen Kane. That's two in a row for the table over here. Who starred in it and directed it? That would be Orson Welles in 1941. All right. Okay, the last one for movies. Oscar-winning movie about life in the South during the war. That would be Gone with the Wind. Vivian Leigh started it, and it was 1939. This movie was up against The Wizard of Oz, and Gone with the Wind won the Oscar, not The Wizard of Oz. How many people watch Gone with the Wind now? How many people watch The Wizard of Oz now? I rest my case. All right, we're moving on to motoring in the 2010s. Which automobile manufacturer sold the most popular pickup in this decade? 41 million of them? That would be Ford. And the model number was?
F-150.
And I will take any of the following 3 years, 2015, 16, or 17. If you look at their selling chart, it tops out, and for those 3 years, it's pretty much the same every year. So any of those years would be okay, 2015, 2016, or 2017. Motoring in the 2000s, the model NHWII, also referred to as Generation 2, that would be, the manufacturer is the Toyota, the model is the Prius, and the year is 2000. Oh, That was the second mass-produced hybrid car. All right, here's the fun one. I had a lot of fun researching this, and I remember this happening. Motoring in the 1990s. Which car from this decade is widely considered to be the worst car in history? That would be the Yugo. Anybody ever heard of that? What's that? Fiat 124. And that was made in Yugoslavia, which after the war in that year became Serbia. So either Yugoslavia or Serbia would be correct, because that's where the plant was. And NATO bombed it in 1999. All right. I think next year we're not going to have motoring as a category. Would people agree to that? I thought it was fun researching. Anyway, motoring in the 1980s. General Motors founded what subsidiary automobile company? That would be Saturn. The Saturn. Saturn, we're a new kind of car company. That was their Saturn. That was their, they said, Saturn, we're a new kind of car company. What do you mean? You're a car company. Their plant was in Tennessee, and the year was 1985. So Saturn, Tennessee, 1985. Motoring in the 70s. Which Italian automobile manufacturer created the splashy, iconic mid-engine sports car? That would be Lamborghini. Remember that? They had those wing doors, and that was new. Splashy red. People were like, what? The motor show, folks, the motor show was in Geneva, and they started producing it in 1974. All right. Coming around the bend here. Motoring in the 60s. What was the safety feature that the National Traffic and Motor Vehicle Act required in all new cars? That would be seatbelts. Seatbelts. Ralph Nader wrote the book Unsafe at Any Speed. The Nadermeister. In 1965, he wrote that book. And the act was actually passed the next year, 1966. So he wrote that book about people flying through windshields. And Congress said, wait a minute. And the very next year, they wrote that act. All right, 1950s. Which, quote, native a motorcycle company? That would be Indian. And they had a plant in Springfield, Massachusetts. And they ceased production there. They started in 1901. They ceased production in 1953. Oh, missed it by that much. All right. We got two more. Motoring in the 40s. In this decade, which new innovation in automobile accessories was introduced? We're enjoying it here right now. That would be air conditioning. All the way in the 40s. And that was first introduced in the Packard. Maybe you thought I was a Packard goose. And the year was 1940. 1940. Packard also introduced a turntable record player as an aftermarket thing that you could put below the console. That, I think, only lasted 1 year. For any bump. All right, last question. Motoring in the 30s. Which automobile manufacturer had the highest sales this decade? That would again be Ford. It's the 1930s. They invented the assembly line and all that. They were cranking them out. How many did they sell in their peak year this decade? The answer is 1 million. And if you considered, in the 2010s, they sold the F-150. They sold 41 million in 1 year. All right, and the year of their peak sales was 1935. 1935. Does anybody need me to repeat an answer? We got big bucks at stake here. So, you've made little correct check marks or whatever on the sheet. Go down each row, add them up, subtotal it, grand total it, hand it back, please. I'm trusting you. We're not sharing with friends. So, I'm going to quickly just run around to each table and ask for your band name and how many points you got.
We got 34.
34 for the firefighters. 34. So that's the high bar to beat now. What are you guys? Bohemian Rhapsody, and you guys got 44. And Road Rage, okay. They got a dual name. So 44 is the number to beat now.
Is that theirs or is that their neighbors?
No, we everybody switched back.
Oh, I missed that.
Okay. You hitting him back or? Okay. Who is the real winners? That's all the way over there. You guys got 38. Yay. So 44 is the total right now. Adam's family got 46, so they are currently in the lead. Perfect Strangers got 33. Wah, 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 sorry. Team Boom has 49. They are in the lead so far. Yes. Hand it over. I gotta look at it. Always winning. They got 52. So that's the top right now. Okay, 42. The Misfits got 42. Hold me closer, tiny answers. That is awesome, table three. Hold me closer. They got 37. All right, so we're going through it here. We got a 46. So 52, 49, 46. All right, so the winner is always winning. At 52 points, that's amazing. By the way, the highest score you could get in this game is 81, so pretty good. Team Boom got 49 points, and they are in second place. Team Boom, raise your hands. All right, Team Boom, everybody, Team Boom. And then the Adams family, they got 46. Who's the Adams family? Over there, to your left, Donna. Adams family. The Adams family. All right, well, that was... Up. All right. Thank me. Thank Donna. Oh, wow. Woohoo. Booyah. Thank you so much. So do we know, like, approximately where we will...
That music goes to the second place team, doesn't it?
Nice try, Team Boom. Yes, hang on. Wow. Nice. Yay. Next year, bring everybody that you know. All right. Thank you so much. That was Triple Trivia Fireworks Fundraiser. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And drive safe or walk safe on your way home. Thank you and good night.
So thanks for playing.
Thanks for coming.
I hope you got a good score. I hope you beat the team that won. And if not, come back next year for the next one. And I hope you had fun. Thanks and good night.